Fox News did a story about police departments across America that have grappled with staffing shortages. The National Police Association pointed to 11 cities that have experienced severe staffing issues after the anti-police rhetoric of 2020 and its political fallout. New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Seattle, St. Louis, Louisville, Kentucky, where I moved here from, Austin and San Antonio, Texas, Phoenix and Tucson, Arizona. They didn't list Denver, but I know that Denver is down a number of officers. So is Aurora. And all of this follows, for instance, here in Colorado, something that Governor McPhee supported, apparently, because he certainly didn't fight against it, rolling back qualified immunity. And when police feel like all of them are being blamed for the actions of a few, it becomes difficult to recruit somebody to get paid a median wage to put their life on the line every day with no one to back them up. It's not rocket science why we can't hire good cops now. Retired Sergeant Betsy Branter-Smith is the National Police Association spokesperson. She's on the line with us now. Sergeant Smith, thanks for coming on. We appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me. I so appreciate you talking about this issue, and I know how important it is to Colorado. I train there fairly frequently. I know a lot of Colorado law enforcement officers. I have family in Colorado, so this is a huge issue.
Yeah, I actually have had a couple of friends that were in law enforcement here in the state, and they moved. One of them went on to be a deputy in Texas because when this reduction of qualified immunity was taken away, and they said, not only do we not have your back, not only is the media going to be all up in your business, not only are you going to put your life on the line every day, but also your assets might be on the line if you have to move to defend yourself in any way or others by doing your job. And so they were like, screw it, I'm going to go someplace else where I'm more appreciated. And, you know, that is causing big cities to hemorrhage really good officers. And the thing that scares me about this, Sergeant Branter-Smith, is that ultimately when we castigate the police, we have a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we chase the people of good character out of that area, then you'll only be left with those with less than stellar character who are just happy to have whatever power and authority policing gives them, and they don't really care about the other stuff. And that gives us more of what we think is happening now, when in fact it's not.
Well, that is so true. You know, we've talked in law enforcement now for decades how we want to continue to professionalize this profession. And Colorado was really at the forefront of that. You know, I don't know if people know, but in Colorado, you have so many police officers who are so well educated and so dedicated to what they do. You have excellent training programs in the state of Colorado. But the problem is if you are not going to protect your law enforcement and let them do their jobs, they're going to go where they are more appreciated.
Right.
And that's unfortunate because, like you said, then you're going to get lower quality candidates. And then you're also going to have the criminal element will eventually take over, you know, neighborhoods and cities and you know, and we're seeing crime on the rise, not just in the cities, but in the rural areas as well.
Do you think some of the rising crime is because police sometimes are reticent to be proactive in policing, whereas in the past they might have said, you know, I see that there's something amiss at Mrs. Smith's house, and, you know, because they patrol that neighborhood and know the people in the neighborhood, they know that this is the way Mrs. Smith's house usually looks, but now it looks a little different, and they might make a welfare check or knock on the door, but now they might not do that unless they specifically see something, right? Like, you know what I mean? It's like that proactive policing. Why would you do that if you could end up getting yourself in trouble? You sort of sit there and wait for the call to come in that case. And I wonder how much that allows criminals to continue on with their activities.
Well, Well, sure. It's something that the National Police Association calls de-policing, because what we have is police officers who get excoriated and sometimes punished for being proactive. We also have a shortage of police officers in so many areas that there just isn't enough personnel to be proactive. It, you know, there are cities all around this country where patrol officers get in their cars at 4 in the afternoon and they have 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 calls for service holding. And so, you know, when you're just running call to call to call, you don't have time to go be proactive. You know, we're, again, all over this nation and in Colorado, we have police officers who are leaving. And so you don't have enough personnel to do the job. That's one of the things about police officers. That's why we're different than firefighters. Firefighters wait to get a call for that fire or for that ambulance run.
Right.
We're out there, we're supposed to be out there during our shift looking for crime, looking for criminals. But if we are just running call to call trying to answer those 911 calls, we're not going to be able to be proactive. And I want people to understand, too, that, and this is happening in places like Seattle, Los Angeles, Chicago, we don't have enough detectives to handle the cases that patrol is bringing to them. So, for example, in Seattle, they don't have enough detectives to handle serious sexual assault cases.
Wow.
You know, that's a travesty. We have cities around this nation where if your home gets burglarized, somebody breaks in, tears up your home, steals all your stuff, it's a report over the phone. No one even comes to do forensic work because there's not enough personnel. It's a crisis.
Yeah, we're talking with retired Sergeant Betsy Brenter-Smith, spokesperson for the National Police Association. How do we fix this?
Well, there's a number of things we can do. First and foremost, we have got to be very loud, we the American people, about our support for law enforcement. And we have to reach out to our political leaders, you know, city, state, county, nationally, and demand support for American law enforcement. We have to demand truth from the media. There has been this 2.5 years of a false narrative that somehow American law enforcement is the problem, that we are racist and we are brutal and we are this and we are that, when in reality, that's just not true. You know, the statistics don't bear it out. Every profession has a couple of bad apples, and we believe our justice system deals well with those. So we have got to support American law enforcement. We got to just let cops do their job. And we've got to stop letting the activists take law enforcement out of policing.
Yeah. No, it's funny because I realize there's bad apples. I want those bad apples rooted out. I love Jocko Willink when he was talking about some of the training and ways that we could go about doing that. But I just know too many law enforcement officers that they don't get up in the morning and think to themselves, and it never occurs to them, how can I oppress someone in my neighborhood today? It's always, how can I protect people in my neighborhood and get back home to be with my family and spend time with them? Well, listen, National Police Association, retired Sergeant Betsy Brenter-Smith, thanks for your time today. Thanks for talking about this issue, because it's important, and it's one of those top line issues that people are going to be voting on. I think the American people have had it with this rise in crime and what appears to be lawlessness, especially in our big cities.
Right. I ask everybody, when you vote, make sure that you are telling your politicians to let the police return to law enforcement.
Yeah,
let us do our jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.